brain. Player, but I was just on a plane. Player, buying gear, flying here. It ain't what you heard, it's my time of year. If I'm in the club, I get 100 stacks. I'm always so I can love for that. I heard he stole my swag, but I don't want it back. I was on this, but now I'm on to that. You see it in my closet for us on the rack. Was out there in Hawaii, now I'm going back. I got so much money, I should start a bank. So much paper right in front of me.
Public relations. That's the money. All right, Monet's going. I'm sorry, Monet.
Leslie. Yeah, it's Leslie Monet, public relations.
Okay. Leslie's going to tell us a bit about what she does for work and how she found success in a field dominated by sharks and not often.
Nobody's friendly.
Not friendly part. People. Yeah. So, yeah. How'd you find your success?
So what I started, you know, obviously with undergrad and the love for what I did, I wanted to initially be a writer at any outlet. So journalism was the end. And then when I took a course in PR, the teacher was, you know, so excited about how well I was able to write without much training. So PR was like, you know. Honestly, it was a black school I went to.
Which school?
Johnson C. Smith University.
Okay.
Down in Charlotte. So
shout out.
JCSU. Right. And so what happened was the professor says, you know, a golden ticket in the media industry is a black woman who can write. And this is coming from a white guy. So it was like, really? I think
must
I might
be true.
Need to, yeah, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
And so when I took the course, it was just natural for me to be able to write. And that's what we do for the most part. So we write on behalf of other brands.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure that they have all of their tools to communicate their message and keep up with a positive image in wherever they're trying to market themselves.
Mm-hmm. So actually, you started just then. You were telling us a little bit about what public relations is.
Yeah.
I'm also in public relations.
Nice.
I am.
Okay.
But can you tell us for our folks listening in what public relations actually is?
It's so hard. And I know you know that it's really hard to say what it is specifically without, you know, getting too long winded. But for the most part, it's let's say, for instance, you know, I'm Trump's PR and what I would do.
Oh, you just want to go straight to Trump's PR. Okay, here we go.
Because this is what people, you know, can, I guess, relate to on a smaller scale. So if I'm Trump's publicist, what I would want to do is take him off of Twitter.
Number one.
Okay. So take him off of Twitter. He's doing too much talking. What we would do as a publicist is make sure that we keep his public image positive.
Right.
And wherever he is, whether that's Twitter, television, CNN, NBC, Fox, on any radio station. Obviously, social media within the last several years has given us a lot more, you know, a different window for us to
connect with our publics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's different from when we were in school and we learned it. It was strictly newspaper, television, radio. And so now this social media thing is a whole nother aspect to it.
Yeah.
So we have to get in there and shut the Twitter down.
Shut it down.
So
I mean, for our listeners, it's important to know that public relations is a lot of brand management. It's crisis management. Your public relations professional or your publicist is going to be the person that comes in and fosters a mutually beneficial relationship between you and your public, whoever that public may be.
Yes.
And so you talked a bit about how you started off in journalism or in writing.
Yes.
In school, and then you transitioned over into public relations.
Absolutely.
Was that while you were in school or did you graduate and then transition?
It was. I'll say for sure I ended up, you know, going into internships that had to deal with PR after my professor kind of led me in that direction. It was something that, you know, I really took a grasp of immediately. So I don't say, oh, no, I'm going to follow my dreams. I'm going to do what I'm good at and also make sure that it works to my dreams. And so
nice.
That it worked well. It did. I had a couple internships down in Charlotte, one beginning with Pride magazine. It's an elite black magazine out there. And so I learned about, you know, the dirty work of PR, which wasn't fun. Sitting there, finding the contacts, going through Google and just really boring kind of research.
Research, yep. trying to find those reporter research. Contacts. Yep.
Exactly. And it was a little bit, you know, it pushed me away, but mm-hmm. I still felt like if I'm good at it, I'm going to give it a 110% go.
Okay.
So after that, the market was really blah in Charlotte mm-hmm. and many, many opportunities for entrepreneurship mm-hmm. kept presenting themselves.
Interesting.
So as soon as I started calling myself a publicist, mm-hmm. people were like, okay, so can you be my PR?
Oh, nice.
And it
came
like,
for you that easily.
Yeah, it did. And I was like, you know, do I have Reddit?
You did at first. Okay. You got it though.
Thanks, girl. I'm like, I feel it. But anyway, so you know how red lipsticks does.
Right, right.
So, yeah, the entrepreneurial climate out there was big. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of people who are not native to the area. They're starting their businesses. There were grants for people who are starting their businesses. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of minority opportunities for women, you know, people of color. And so it just kind of felt natural to just go ahead and start doing what I do. I applied to jobs, obviously.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough without mm-hmm. the 5 to 10 years,
of experience. Right. You had to start somewhere being somebody's, you know, communications yes, associate.
Right. Somewhere. And there is no communications associate.
Right.
There are these senior level executives and there's nothing.
And there's nothing. Right.
So you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, that's what really just started me on that track. And so once I finished school and I got out there and saw that there wasn't much anything to do besides to do me, mm-hmm. Then I just did that. And I started blogging and getting to know the people on the other end of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, the blog turned into, okay, well, you blog, but I'm also a publicist. So
right.
how can I help you in that regard and right. turn it into some income?
So you were down in Charlotte, you said.
Yes.
What brought you to New Haven? I mean, these are my stomping grounds, yeah. and I love it when people come to New Haven, yeah. but I'm also interested when I find out that people...
Yeah, so I'm from here, right?
Oh!
Yeah, so I grew up in Fairhaven.
Oh, really?
I spoke a little bit of Spanish.
Okay!
Yeah, yeah. You could, if I had a little bit of a twang to be from... well, down south turned me into a Southern Belle, but, you know, I spoke a little Spanish back in the day. And so I moved away initially to Atlanta with my family and then came back home. And so I was in Waterbury. And mm-hmm. once I finished high school in Waterbury, I went up to Central, and Central transitioned me to another school. So mm-hmm. I was kind of up and down the mm-hmm. highway mm-hmm. for a while. And so I wanted to start the life down there, which I did. And I have my twins. So I'm a mompreneur. I have my twins. They're 5 years
old
now. That's
so cute. A mompreneur.
I'm a mompreneur. So if you go on Twitter and IG, there's a millions of mm-hmm. people who are like, hashtag mm-hmm. mompreneur. Yeah, we're at home with our home offices and we're doing this. So
that's awesome. And I'm also a twin. I'm just going to say,
oh my goodness.
I do connect on that. Yeah.
You're a twin.
I am. I'm a whole twin. Yep. Well, I'm half of the twinship.
Are you identical?
We're fraternal.
Wow.
We are fraternal.
Girls?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome.
I'm gonna deviate real quick so yeah. we can nerd out on twinning.
Yes. Yeah.
What are your twins' names?
They are Christian, who's the boy, mm-hmm. and Chrisette is the girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my mom, she was very particular about not wanting us to have twin names. You know, like yeah. I know I have friends who are twins, Kimberly and Crystal.
Okay.
Or Kelsey and Crystal, yes. right? Like the very twin names.
Oh, shout out to my god sister and god brother, Larry and Laura Warlow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My twin's name is Jennifer.
Oh my God.
Right.
Goodness.
And so Mercy and Jennifer, literally two different people. She might be a Virgo. I might be a Leo.
Yes.
Right. Like we are completely different people. Yeah. So that was a quick deviation and we're going to return to our. So, I mean, have you been watching the show?
I have.
Okay. So the show is about how people kind of made their own way. They turned their, right, 9 to 5 to a 24/7, or they turned their side gig into a straight hustle, like, you know, a 24/7 hustle.
Yes.
So I'm interested because you said it was real easy for you. Once you graduated, you kind of just made your own way.
It was natural.
I'm interested in giving that insight to the folks listening in. What is that way that you made?
Well, what you have to realize is it's not a clock in, clock out type of feel. You're mm-hmm. not really sleeping. Before I had children, it was day in and day out. Mm-hmm. What can I do? My dreams. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you say you dream it into existence, you really do. These are your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You think about what you can do with the next 24 hours while you're laying there.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure that time period out. And so you get out there, you meet people, you shake a lot of hands, you pound the pavement, you walk around, you get to know who you are, mm-hmm. as a person and what's inside of you that you can put into your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really just giving it your all. If this is what you want,
yeah,
you're not going to stop. And so third child later, I just had another baby. I haven't stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, from down south to here. And really, I just made the transition back home to be closer to family,
mm-hmm.
so that I can pursue this on a stronger, right. fuller basis.
So your firm was, and it's a boutique firm.
It is. Well, as of right now, it's mm-hmm. a virtual boutique firm.
It's a virtual, yes. which means
I can work from anywhere.
Right.
Yes.
Beautiful. So your virtual boutique firm was quasi located in Charlotte.
It was.
And now it's located here.
Yes.
Did you bring your clients with you when you came up here?
They are with me.
Okay. So, and what does that mean?
That means they're on my phone,
mm-hmm.
they're in my inbox,
mm-hmm.
and we're in each other's DMs. So
does it go down?
It goes down. 4, 3, 2 in the morning. I mean, mm-hmm. as of right now, I'm up every 3 hours the baby.
Yeah, so. Of course, because you just
I just had
her
another baby girl.
Yes,
she is less than 2 months old.
Yeah,
so
we just for my listeners,
yeah,
we actually tried to connect. About a month ago, I wanted you to come on the show.
Yes.
And you were like, I'd love to, except I'm nursing right now.
Yeah, I just had her October 25th.
So. Yeah, so I'm happy you were able to make it on.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
So what were some of the roadblocks that you faced along the way? Because I know you said it was easy, but we all face roadblocks yeah. in our path
Many.
To success.
Yep.
Even if it's, you know, a circuitous path, we face some kind of roadblock. So what was yours?
Many, several. I mean, I was still dealing with being in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
And so that obviously takes up most of our time. What I decided to do was just, you know, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the jobs that I were able to keep up with the business, I would go on my lunch break and have business meetings, and I would,
mm-hmm.
you know, be with clients in my virtual office.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way it worked when I was in Charlotte, my corporate office was literally next door to the virtual office. And
mm-hmm.
so I would just book meetings and go and take my hour and deal with my clients.
So you were doing the corporate thing at the same time.
In the beginning.
And yes. then like toggling between
absolutely
their thing because, and your thing.
Yeah. You mm-hmm. have to live.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to support your family.
Yep.
And obviously, I just launched the firm officially last year.
Nice.
In February, along with a launch beside it for the blog, a relaunch for the blog, which
okay.
is Pink Illuminance blog.
Pink Illuminance.
And so the blog obviously is just me being, you know, natural to my journalistic ways,
mm-hmm.
and being able to meet people who may need a PR service. So that was mm-hmm. something for me to strategize in growing my clientele.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you launched your firm, mm-hmm. right? Well, what does that mean?
Right. So what you're essentially doing is introducing who you are as a company to who needs you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an event. I did it strategically, like you would for any of your clients as a
yep.
publicist,
mm-hmm.
and shook some hands. I passed out champagne for free, mimosas, and, you know, got people introduced to what it is that's going to happen with, you know, the company.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm really interested in,
I think I answered your question.
You did.
The roadblocks.
You did. I mean, unless you feel like you have more to say.
Well, there's always going to be just that, can I do this?
Were you doubtful?
Very.
Yeah.
Every day.
And did that doubt sort of lead to fear and,
always.
You know, the desire to retreat?
Always, but you can't have fear where there's faith. And so you have to choose one.
Yeah.
And if you wake up with fear, guess what? You're still going to get up and you're still going to have to do something with your time on this place
mm-hmm.
that we're on the earth.
On this planet. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so you might as well go for it
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
you might fall asleep and be doubtful again. And then you might have this one day out of 2 or 3 months that really was like, oh my goodness.
That was it.
I needed that. And and yes, this is going to be awesome. And then you might not sign the contract. Yeah. And then so it's like, oh my God, I really put my all into that lead and it didn't happen. But, you know, it's all about keeping yourself focused on the bottom line, not the everyday thing. And I think that's just a life.
That's just a life lesson. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keeping yourself focused on what it is that you want to get to and not how to get there, because you're going to get there eventually.
So where are you going to get eventually and where do you want to get to?
Yes. So the Grammys are in New York.
They certainly are.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm like, well, you know, I think I need to be there this year.
Yeah.
And I'll do a few crunches and get this little tummy down. And
get the snap back going.
But no, seriously, I'm working on a tour with a rock band or artist, rather. His name is Rob Pagnano.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready to just go full speed. And he's going to be here in New York this year. And honestly, this is one of my newest clients. I haven't even met him in person.
Oh, wow.
We've already got things.
Blow your mind sometimes?
It's unreal. I mean, but it's the world we live in. You might even, on a personal level, date someone that you've never met for months or years.
Right.
On
That's true. That's very true.
And here they are in person. And it's like, I've been known you. You know, exactly. I've known you forever. And so when it's meant to be just like that. Mm-hmm. With your clients, it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
They feel your vibe. And if they can feel your vibe from where you remotely, are,
right,
then it's all the more better when you get in person.
When it comes together. Yeah. So you're trying to get to the Grammys.
I'm trying to get there.
And when you get to the Grammys, what's going to happen?
Oh, girl. I'm going to... Listen.
They're not
my
ready.
My inner Beyonce.
Wait, your inner Beyonce in what way? Like,
oh,
you know.
That's going to come out. Oh, the appearance is everything.
Okay.
It's the public image.
We starting off with the appearance and the public image. What are you wearing?
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to hit up Fashion Nova.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
Cardi B has them kind of on the come up.
She's got them on the come up. I've bought a couple of things from there. Mm-hmm. They come right away. And so, you know, shout out to Fashion Nova.
Yeah. But, potential new client.
I think so. If I can get them. I mean, but they're slamming. They're mm-hmm. all over the mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. You know. They can't do much better
right.
than what they're right. doing with the millions of followers.
And, exactly. And the celebrity endorsements and the, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So,
And you're shaking hands, you're rubbing elbows when you get there. Are absolutely. You trying to find new clients?
I don't think, see, that's another thing. You have to not be so greedy. If I had employees, that would be a little bit different. But I don't. And so I'm a one-man mm-hmm. show. I take on enough clients to, you know, fill your hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's really going to be it. I've got a couple more that are coming on board the top of the year. And mm-hmm. so 2018 is a big year for everyone.
Yeah.
And so big year for everyone means big year for the firm. And mm-hmm. that's exciting for me as well.
That's great. That's great. And so I really appreciate the balance between I have what I have now and I'm not going to be greedy and try to get more.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
that. Because mm-hmm. you'll ruin your own, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do too much and your clients won't be happy at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Stop and Shop and there's these 10
I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this. Okay, here we go. Lanes.
Here are the 10 lanes and here's two employees
mm-hmm.
and here are these long lines. And it's like, all right, you have this big store with all these lanes, but you have two employees ready to go. And so everyone's pissed off and you're like,
right.
Why do you have all these lanes? Same thing with Walmart. I mean,
so the moral of the story is don't be a Walmart.
Don't be a Walmart and, you know, build your brand up. I know they have buku money
mm-hmm.
and they've got a lot for the people at the top. But, you know, when you're starting out fresh and you're starting from the bottom up, mm-hmm. You do not want to, you know, even take a bad client that has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I've turned people away because they wanted to run the show. And that's not how it's going to be, you know, you need me. I'm the professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people that I had to let go regardless of the check.
Oh
yes.
I mean, is that just for, you know, is that your professional well-being, your personal well-being?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You've just gotta be able to, you know, when you're running a business that is built on relationships and rapport that you've built with your journalists, all of that, that takes into account. I've taken one person on, and he was a hip hop artist, and I booked him an interview. He didn't show up.
Oh, wow.
And so that, you know, I've never been able to really fix that, that relationship with the radio station. And he, on the other end, is no longer a client of mine. So I lost twice.
Right. Right.
You know, and that was a lesson learned.
Yeah.
And with, you know, being able to, all right, I've taken my time. I've built this relationship. And now this client really just ruined a lot of hours of work. So those are the things you go through as a growing entrepreneur and a you know, business owner. And so you just learn, you move on from it, and you start fresh with the new lesson.
Right.
And you don't do it again.
And you just don't do it again.
Right.
Well, what we're going to do again is introduce our guest today, and thank her so much for coming on to the show. We have Leslie Monet, who is the founder and lead publicist of Monet Public Relations. And she's also a... what was it? A contributor to The Source.
I am.
Can you tell me about that?
Sure. And so, yeah, it's Leslie Monet, PR. So I just use my name. That's a lot of times what
publicists do.
The publicists do. And so, you know, there's so many of us. It's a very saturated, hard industry to break into. But as far as me writing for The Source, again, it's just another way to use my talent to leverage my brand as a person, as a public figure, essentially. So if, you know, I'm a publicist on this end, I'm also a journalist on this end, on the other end, rather, that's something that's really, it goes hand in hand. You build those relationships with the media.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of it, you know, why not just use my talents to work with them? And if I can work with you, then I can also bring a client on, you know, essentially, and you know, broker a deal.
That relationship.
Yeah. So it's natural.
Now, would you say that a little bit of public relations and a little bit of, you know, entrepreneurship is brokering those relationships for yourself and for your client?
Yes. Yes. Because if I'm a business, I still need PR.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I've got to use, you know, my service for myself to build the brand and the company. And then once I bring on those clients, then I also have to build them up too. So it's a lot to be in this industry.
And especially without a staff.
Without a staff. I've had interns. You know, people are not as interested in building your business up as they would their own. And so, you know, I foster them. I let them go into their own. And it just, it's just a continuing, I guess, like a revolving door with that. And so, you know, people let me in. I was initially working with a celebrity publicist out of L.A. who I've, again, never met. And this was 6 years ago. And that's just how strong social media is to, you know, building your network. But as far as that goes, she taught me everything. And to this day, I mean, I love her so much. Her name is Elvira Guzman. She's a Latina publicist. She's represented Music Soul Child. She's represented Terrence J, Roxy, a lot of
big names,
people. And she's built a six-figure life out of this industry. She's turned her talents into something that was desirable for her lifestyle. And she grew up with a tough, you know, upbringing. And so what your upbringing and where you came from has nothing to do with your ability to get where you're going. And so that's another thing you have to, like, train your mind and say, you know, I might not have had, or I might not have come from, but that doesn't say, that doesn't mean
I... That's not going to dictate where you're going.
Absolutely not. I mean, I've got twins and a newborn, and that still won't dictate where it is that we're going. If you allow it in your mind, then you're gonna, it's gonna happen. But if you don't, and you, like, again, stay in tune with that bottom line, then you're gonna get there. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you live at this point, because we got the internet.
Social media.
You just keep going.
Yeah.
But Did I answer your question?
You certainly did. I do want to just remind people that we are streaming live from the New Haven Independence website, or I'm sorry, from, the website and the Facebook page, and you can listen in at 103.5 FM WNHH and newhavenindependent.org. I'm checking in today with Leslie Monet, who is actually schooling me. How long have you been in public relations?
At this point, what year are we in?
It's still 17.
Okay. So I'm in 2018. That's just how it goes when, when you're, 3 months ahead. But so I've been in PR since I graduated, like I said, and that was in 2009.
Oh, wow.
And so going on 10 years and a couple years, but starting the firm and getting that momentum going 1 year, one and a half years now.
And so there's a little bit of a lag because you've been doing this on your own without the solidified firm yet.
Yes.
What can you attribute that gap to? Is that a lot of people talking about a failure to launch and needing to have that full-time gig to support their part-time gig?
Yes, that and the simple fact that I was in the wrong market. So you have to know where you are along with, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Charlotte, North Carolina far too long for a media-driven company to really flourish.
Right.
I needed to be near New York.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
And so now that I am, it's like, okay, perfect. God knew what needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Baby girl came. And now I have extra amounts of time to really dig in and plant my feet where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the transition from Carolina to Connecticut, I still had to go to work.
Yeah.
Okay. But, at the end of the day, now here we are and it's time to go.
Where were you working?
Insurance.
You were working insurance.
It was, yes. And it's so difficult to do something that is far beneath your capability. and so I've been doing insurance since I graduated college.
Just to be able to make ends meet and to sustain your part-time gig, your passion gig.
Yes. And so what I looked at it as, this job is not a job. What it is an investor into my business.
Yeah.
So every check that's was invested.
That's really cool to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people feel as though, I'm sure you've seen the memes that you work 9 to 5 for a job that will get, exactly. And then 5 to 9, you have to come back and work on yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's really cool to think about it as an investor.
It's an investor. They're investing into your rent, your mortgage if you own a home. They're investing into your groceries. They're paying all of your bills. And they're making sure that you still have, what you need in order to go on and do what you have to do for your business.
So that's cool. So you're making a name for yourself. And are you still working in insurance or did you already take the plunge?
No, I'm in.
You're fully in.
I'm going for
the gusto. So when did you quit insurance?
That was right around the time that it was time to have the baby. So obviously I kept working and and putting the money where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that's something you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
An exit strategy.
Yeah.
And so that was mine, obviously, with baby coming and the family growing. So
that's when you took the plunge. And so we're only talking about 2 months.
Yes.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Right. So how's it feel? So now you're finally working for yourself.
Yes.
You don't have a boss except your clients.
I'm telling you. And the kids.
And the kids.
essentially.
So how's that? How's that feel? But two, how's that working?
It's working. My clients and the new people I'm bringing on are like, wow, you're getting it. And you just had a baby. And it really builds that respect and that rapport for one another. And it makes your team, who are my clients at this point, want to do what they have to do to also build this up.
Right.
And so it's like, it's a very dynamic relationship that you have with these people.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
A lot of people feel, like I said, a failure to launch.
Yeah.
When they're working their 9 to 5 and then they're dedicating themselves to themselves from 5 to 9. Do you have any, piece of advice that you can lend about what got you to that point?
It's mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot allow what you see in front of you to dictate how you see yourself.
Oh, that's so good.
Turn it around.
Can you say that again? Let me write it. Yeah.
So, like, you can't dictate what you see in front of you to dictate how you can't allow what you see in front of you to dictate how you see yourself. So, you have to take that time to look in the mirror and focus on what you're doing as an individual first, because mm-hmm. you're not going to flourish in the world if your inner is not on task.
Yeah.
If you're not focused. Get yourself together. Mm-hmm. You can't go out here and deal with a bunch of different people, which you're going to need to do as a business owner, because that's your business. Mm-hmm. We need each other to mm-hmm. make this thing work. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't deal with yourself, how is anybody else going to deal with you?
Right. Exactly.
Deal with yourself, okay? Get that inside together. Mm-hmm. Get your mind right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like going to the gym. I'm an ex-athlete, and so that discipline is like,
yeah.
You get in there, you don't want to.
I'm an ex-athlete as well, but I'm also an ex, what do you call a person that just works out?
I'm a fitness guru or? Are you still going?
I am not. No gym has a membership with my name on it.
That's okay. That's okay.
I was talking about this with my guest last week. I don't work it out by working out.
No.
That's fine. Yeah.
Hey, I haven't really in years, but I've got this app on my phone that we do like that 7-minute workout.
Right.
So I haven't started yet, but I'm going to try. Because,
but that's going to be my New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Make it work. Yes.
So I'm really interested in your story, because it's so dope to think about, like, you know, a lot of people find themselves held back by, you know, the fear of going into work for themselves.
Yes.
Like, when really, if you think about it, going into your work for yourself should be the most fearless thing you do, right?
It should be
easiest option.
We're trained mm-hmm. From school on into college on. You're trained to go to work.
Right.
You're trained to, like, get that job.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to retrain your brain. But once you're in that, you know, motivated spirit, don't let that you know, that new space scare you, essentially. Mm-hmm. You have to say, wow, this is something new. It's like moving. It's not anything that you've seen before, but mm-hmm. you know it's there, and you know it can work for you. Because you've seen it like one good time.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about how the way we're trained from childhood
yes.
to go to school, get the job.
Yes.
Right. In that order.
Yes.
Right.
In that order. Get married.
Get married.
You know,
get
the someone who exactly. has a degree and a job.
Have a bunch of kids, settle down.
Settle down and go to work until you retire.
And then reap those Social Security benefits in that order.
In
Do you
that
think
order.
The way we talk to, and I'll specify because you and I are both African American women.
Yes.
Do you think the way we talk to African American girls about work and the needs to succeed is inhibiting an entire class of potential entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think it's not so much anymore, because okay. what we've learned is school ain't going to get it. And I think we were the trailblazers for that.
Yeah.
School is not going to get it. It's mm-hmm. not going to get you that job that you thought was right. out there, because guess what? There are people that are working that job already.
Exactly.
And so also you have to... You know, so we're blazing that trail, right? And so what the new statistics are that Black women are the largest group of growing entrepreneurs here. Mm-hmm,
yeah, okay? And the most educated groups by
right,
gender and race.
Mm-hmm. So we're making it happen, mm-hmm. and we don't fall too far too long. And so we're getting that new space ready for our young girls.
That's great.
I think it'll be something totally different when my baby graduates.
Yeah. And I mean, do you think that she'll be an entrepreneur herself?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's in us. It's in us. I come from a family who, you know, are singers and store owners, and you know, people who are just continuously using their talents to make a living.
Yeah,
working with their hands. I got mm-hmm. a cousin out here who's a contractor, mm-hmm. and so another cousin. Shout out to my cousin Theodore Roosevelt. It's a new black-owned restaurant here
yeah.
in New Haven.
I hear the wings are on point.
Yeah, they're very good. So go check them out as mm-hmm. well. But it's like that. And you really have to just say, you know, well, if this is not working, then plan B, and then plan C, and then plan D. And then when you get to Z, Because you are.
Because you are going to get to Z.
You're going to get to Z. You're going to have that many times that you fall and say, that didn't work. That didn't
work. And then you'll have
then
to go back to A.
Okay.
And go AA,
exactly.
AB, AC.
Exactly. Infinitely. You have to keep going. So
that's actually really great advice. And I always ask my guests a series of questions that, like, I want to know this because I know that my viewers and my listeners are going to want to know this.
Yeah.
What's the number one piece of advice? So you've been sort of dropping knowledge.
I'm trying.
Right. Like throughout this entire interview.
Yeah.
What's that piece of advice for, you know, you could say that person who just graduated with their master's in public relations, or you could say that person who never went to college and being a publicist might be the thing that they want to do. What's that piece of advice for them?
Yeah. And I get questions from people all over the internet, you know, younger girls who are in college and with the same questions, like, well, you're writing. Did you follow, you know, a dream, or did you get lucky?
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, what you need to do is have a plan. There is no getting lucky.
So number one is have a plan. There's no getting lucky.
Mm-hmm. No. Number two, I would say something to the effect of know your bottom line and don't stop. You cannot give up. There is no space to not try again.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
You have to
keep
going.
It moving.
Keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just make sure that you're fostering yourself in order to foster your business. Make sure that you have your money in order. Number one, do not leave your job without having some plan to pay your bills.
And I repeat,
do not do that.
Do not leave your job without having a plan to pay your bills.
No, mm-hmm. Even if it's,
because a lot of people, I mean, myself included, experience this job it might pay the bills, but it's not fostering my growth, or they just know that they have a plan, but it's an insecurity issue.
Yeah.
Right. So like, it's a little bit of how do I know when the time is right?
Right. Yeah. You'll feel it, and you'll also see the opportunities come.
Right.
So it's a lot of, you know, I pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that
a lot of my guests talk about, how they pray. And I always ask, does God talk back?
He sure did.
Okay.
And
what'd he say?
He talked back through the people that he sent to me.
Oh.
And he made sure that I had an answer to the question that I was asking via this action that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the people come around and they answer the question that I had within myself, it's like, all right, I know I'm on the right track.
Yeah. And so I guess to wrap up the interview, my last question I asked is, all my guests, and this is probably one of my favorite questions. What gets you worked up? You've been doing this since 2009. We're going on about 10 years you've been doing this. What gets you worked up?
What? At this point, I'm just that person. I'm not good at failing. Okay? If I said I was going to do it, I am going to do it. And at this point, my beautiful children are my 100% motivation to make sure that they see mom not give up. Because what am I doing teaching them that just because this didn't work, I was just going to give it up. I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
No, if I'm going to do it, even if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to give up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's me, period.
Mm-hmm.
I might have run a 400 dash and walked through the finish line because I was tired.
Is this a true story?
No.
Okay, I'm like, because you said you were a former athlete. I didn't know what caused your form.
I could have. I felt like my legs were going to give out at some point. You know, I ran track in high school and in college, and volleyball was my resort because I didn't want to run anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you feel like you're going to just die out and your body is like, no, my body can't do it no more, guess what? Your mind can.
Oh, wow.
Your mind can.
That's really great.
Your mind will do it.
Dropping all the...
I'm trying. I mean...
All the dimes, all the quotes and wisdom.
I want to make sure, you know, that... And this is one of my clients here. So it's like, it's an ongoing thing. But, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't allow someone's no to distract you. And don't allow your own no to distract you.
And what's next for you?
What's next?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're going to get to the Grammys. and we're going to make this thing look as good as it should.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go from there. 2018 is a big year. I want to make sure that everything that I said I was going to do is going to be done. It's on paper. It just needs to come into action. And so at this point, you know, we're ready to go. I'm really grateful for today. Just want to make sure that everyone can
absolutely
reach out to me if you have other questions.
Please, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, I'd love to share any more knowledge. They can get in touch with me online. I'm on social media at all times of the day and evening. And so that handle is at Leslie Monet PR. And that's LeslieMonetPR. On all platforms.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Again, this is Leslie Monet, yes, the founder and CEO of Leslie Monet Public Relations and a contributor to The Source Magazine.
Yes.
Thank you again for joining us. You've been listening to Work It Out with Mercy Quay here on 103.5 FM WNHH. That's where I come from. The only thing we know is the bigger the bill, the harder you ball. Work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard.